pray with me this morning? Father, we come before you. As we turn our attention to your word, hearts and our minds to receive it, we open up our hearts and our minds to receive your spirit and what it is that you desire to reveal to us, say to us this morning. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us about who you are and what you have done and what you are doing in our midst. We give this time to you and pray these things in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. So this morning we're going to read from Psalm 19. Actually, I'm going to read from Psalm 19. I'm going to invite you to listen. And I'm going to read it through three times. I'm going to read it in a style what some people would call Lectio Divina. The first time I read it, you just get to listen and hear the text being spoken. Then there'll be a pause, time for you to reflect on it silently. Then I'm going to read it a second time and also give you a pause and time to reflect. And then I'm going to ask you what words spoke out to you as I read it that second time. Then we're going to read it through a third time. I'm going to ask you, after a period of time, what phrase spoke to you. So find a comfortable position, open up your ears and your heart, and hear the word of the Lord to us this morning. The psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heaven and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." Hear the word of the Lord to us a second time. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Please share a word that spoke to you during that reading. I invite you to listen to the word of the Lord a third time. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. I invite you to share a phrase that spoke to you. The theme for today is glory of God. And the psalmist, when he turns his eyes around or upward, says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. When the psalmist looks around, he sees the glory of God. He sees God being glorified. My question to you this morning is, how do you see the glory of God? How do you experience the glory of God? Jim introduced us to this shape, this mandorla shape. An artist would use that shape to say, here, focus your attention here. This brings glory to God. Draw your attention here. Don't look over here, but look right in here. This brings glory. This here, this displays glory. This morning when you walked in, I hope you were handed a little piece of paper that had a mandorla shape on it. I'm also hoping that you received a crayon. If you haven't, there's a bucket of them back on the table. You somehow got through. For the next few moments, I want you to take that piece of paper, right, and focus your attention on that shape and that question. What is it that brings glory to God? How is it that I see the glory of God? How is the glory of God revealed to me? How is the glory of God revealed to me? How do you recognize, how do you experience the glory of God? In what ways? Once you figure that out, you're invited to sketch that, right? To draw within that shape what that's all about. Jim, he created this piece for us. He says, this, right? This brings the glory of God. But as he was talking here, he said, hey, there's all kinds of ways that God can be glorified, right? That we can experience the glory of the Lord. So we have an opportunity now to reflect on that. Take some time. Take some time to draw, right? And after a little bit, we'll move on. But use this time. How is the glory of God declared to you? Do you need more time? The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The writer of the Hebrews says, Jesus Christ declares the glory of God. I invite you to listen to the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be His Father and He will be my Son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all God's angels worship Him." And speaking of the angels, He says, He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the sun, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. I invite you to listen to that a second time. Writer Hebrews says this, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says this, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. I invite you to share a word that spoke to you as you heard it that second time. I invite you to listen to it a third time. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fires. But about the Son, he says this, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. I invite you to share a phrase that spoke to you as you heard it a third time. Writer Hebrews says, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This morning, we're focusing our attention on the glory of God. We're opening up our eyes and our hearts to see it and to receive it, and to give Him thanks and praise and honor, right, and glory for who He is and what He has done, right, how He has revealed Himself to us. And the psalmist reminds us His creation does this day after day. As the leaves change color, they're pouring forth speech, right? The glory of God is being revealed to us. And the writer of the Hebrews says, when we look to the cross, right, when we look to Jesus, the Son of God, His glory is being revealed to us, right? As we look to the cross, right, and we see the purification of our sins, right? God's glory is being revealed. It's being made known. His character, who He is being revealed to us. Do we see it? Do we see the glory of God? More importantly, do we receive it, right? Do we experience it? Does the radiance, right? The heat of the sun, does it warm our hearts and our souls? Both the sun in the sky, right, and the sun on the cross. Do we receive the heat and the warmth that comes from the glory that's being radiated out? Have we received the glory of God? Are we giving glory to God? Glory is something that we need to experience. Something is glory. Right? Glory is something that we need to give. Jim said, we're not fully who we are unless we are doing what we were called to do. When we are called to give glory. That's what that shape is about. Are we giving glory? Are we recognizing glory? There's these next few moments, the worship team is going to come up, right? And they're going to begin to play. And we're going to sing. And as we do, right, the glory of God is going to be revealed. And we're going to give glory to our God for who He is and what He has done. And we're also going to have an opportunity to celebrate communion, to receive the glory of the Son. Because why did He come? He came for purification, to purify you and me. He came to die that we might be forgiven, that we might be glorified, that we might be made whole once again. Jesus took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is My body which is given for you. When you eat, remember who I am and what I have done, that I have come to die for the forgiveness of your sins." Then Jesus took the cup and He said, "This cup represents a new covenant. This cup represents My blood which was shed for you so that you might be glorified, that your sins might be washed away, that you might be made new and be made whole again." So He says, eat and drink, and as you do, remember and believe who I am and what I've done. And as we remember, what do? That we bring glory to the One who has saved us, to the One who has redeemed us. As we eat and as we drink, and as we sing, we give glory where glory is due. And we give glory to the One who is seated at the right hand, who is in the exalted place. And we say, "You, that my soul glorifies in God my Savior." The glory of God. Do you see it? Do you experience it? Do you give it? These are the questions of our hearts this morning. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to start to play. And when you're ready to glorify God for who He is and what He's done for you, I invite you to take what you have drawn. Right, and there's a little mandorla over there, and there's some tape. I want you to tape your representation up there. Then you can make your way over here, right, and celebrate communion. There's juice and there's bread. And when you're ready to give glory for God for what He's done, I invite you to come and to eat and to drink. And this table is for all who believe. All who believe Jesus is God's glorified one, that He is the one.
right, who purifies from our sins. This table is for those who believe in Jesus. So if you are a believer in Jesus, if you want to give glory to Him for what He has done, I invite you to come. The table is open for you. We have an opportunity here to glorify God. Bring glory to God this morning.